Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And as New York and almost every other state face historic fiscal challenges, one difficult fact of life is that Medicaid, health care for the poor, is generally the state's biggest expense, more than 20% of all state government expenditures, according to the National Governors Association. Medicaid expenses are split between the federal government and the states. Andrew Cuomo is getting ready to propose cost-saving measures for Medicaid recipients, some of them likely to be controversial. According to a roundup on Bloomberg News, Washington State may not pay for glasses anymore. Massachusetts dropped dentures. North Carolina eliminated surgery for the clinically obese. But one state in fiscal crisis is now dominating the headlines, Arizona. As you may have heard, that state has already stopped paying for some heart, kidney, and liver transplants that are expensive but would save some lives. And now the state Senate Majority Leader is proposing that Arizona pull out of Medicaid altogether and let, as he puts it, church, community, and families provide for their own health care. Condemn it if you want, all states will be facing wrenching Medicaid decisions. In a few minutes, we'll talk to a leading transplant surgeon, but with us now is the Arizona Senate Majority Leader, Russell Pierce. Senator Pierce, thank you for doing this. Hello from New York.
Hello, thank you.
Let's begin with the denial of transplants under Medicaid. Where does that stand now?
Well, actually, we still do most transplants. There were just some high-risk ones that were cut out. And again, you got to understand, Arizona's in a unique position here. One out of five Arizonans are on what our Medicaid program is called ACCESS, Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. One out of five Arizonans are on that. And what happens is you take the stimulus money, and we were allowed to cut certain things. We have a crisis here with the budget deficit of just in the current year of over $900 million, $1.4 billion for the last year. Just got out of a deficit the last 2 years of fixing a $2 billion and $1.5 billion deficit. You can't ignore that huge cost. We've just passed a tax increase, and we still have these deficits, and I'm not a fan of that tax increase, but it was passed. So people have to understand the dilemma we're in. We have passed at the ballot voter initiative called Proposition 204, which Arizona is the fifth most richest ACCESS Medicaid program in the nation. We provide services no other state provides, by far. And enough is enough. We've got to trim you. When you're out of money, the checkbook's empty. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. And some of these tough decisions were predicated upon the stimulus that didn't allow us to cut certain programs. So we've got these handcuffs on while we have this deficit. So you only had so many options. Proposition 204 prevents us from cutting other programs, not as critical of programs that we can't cut while we're cutting programs that are more critical. So it's a catch-22 for the state of Arizona. It's a difficult, difficult environment. And you mentioned something earlier. And I am an advocate. We're not going to get out of Medicaid. But the truth is, government shouldn't be in the health care business. I mean, when you used to negotiate with your doctor, you had insurance for catastrophic kinds of things. You used to be able to, years ago when I grew up, and I grew up a very poor boy, never went to a doctor. We never went. One of 13 kids. I can't ever remember as a young kid going to a doctor. Today we go for sniffles and everything in the world. But it's kind of like John Stossel said, though. If you think health care is expensive today, wait till it's free. You have to have accountability, and that's what we've moved, from this. You get free health care, and you don't think you have an obligation to contribute. We have no co-pays to speak of. You have no premiums that you pay. It's a runaway train. It's unsustainable. And so somewhere we're going to have to make some tough decisions about what we can afford and what we can't afford.
I see that Governor Brewer wrote a letter to the incoming House Speaker, John Boehner, asking to repeal the part of Obamacare called the Medicaid Maintenance of Effort.
Right.
Does that mean she wants to be able to diminish Medicaid benefits, like for transplants, with the blessing of the federal government?
Just the opposite. If we had more flexibility, we could make better decisions. The maintenance of effort requirement that's in the unconstitutional Obamacare, that that mandate restricts us from doing that. We spend $8 million a year on non-emergency transportation. The title alone ought to tell you how important it is. It's a cab to a doctor or a cab to a movie. You can't cut that because that's part of the maintenance effort. So that's one of the challenges we have, is we don't have the flexibility that's required in tough times to make good decisions. I mean, that's all we're asking for. I mean, is the flexibility to make good decisions. The handcuffs have to come off. We can't afford or sustain what they're demanding we do. While we're providing frivolous programs that are not emergencies, we're having to deal with tougher issues, and it's just not fair. I mean, like any program, we're elected. Let us make the decision we need to make for our constituents. If you don't like the decision, unelect us. But don't put handcuffs on us that prevent us from making good decisions, you know, that are reasonable, responsible decisions in the scheme of things where you can prioritize. We're not allowed to hardly prioritize because we have all these, again, I'll use the term again, handcuffs. They've handcuffed us and restricted us from making the kind of decisions that I think would better serve the constituents of Arizona.
On the transportation, for example, for a minute, people would say if you don't have a way to get to medical care, you don't actually have access to medical care.
Well, you know, everybody's got an excuse. It's just like, you know, everybody wants something. We live in this entitlement mentality where we have a right to other people's stuff. We have a right to this. We have a right to that. But we didn't earn it. We just have a right to other people's stuff. You know what? It's free. And we do a good job. But there are tough decisions when you have no money. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And I don't argue that some of those arguments may be even valid to some degree, but take public transportation. I just don't have to be a cab, we don't have the time to go into the personal stories that I could tell you. I deal with hundreds of people who called me about the fraud, the abuse, and those who use the program inappropriately, and government services, taxpayer-paid services. So there has to be some accountability brought in the system.
Right.
And when you're out of money, you've got to make decisions somewhere. When you're $900 million short of paying your bills, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. There is no money. The checkbook is empty.
Russell Pierce, the Arizona State Senate Majority Leader.
And actually, let me just correct you on that. I'm not the Majority Leader. I'm the President-elect of the Senate coming in. I don't want to steal Scott Bungard's title.
I got you. President-elect. You know, there was such an outcry by Sarah Palin and others to the Obamacare proposal to have a Medicare Best Practices Committee to assess what's cost effective or not in Medicare benefits. That's what Palin was calling the death panels. So do you, with what you were just saying, have a different perspective on granting health benefits according to a cost-benefit analysis?
No, I think they're, you know, these are some tough times, but we've allowed this to go beyond. I'm not a socialist. I don't believe in the redistribution of wealth, nor do I believe people have a right to other people's stuff. We're generous people, and I'm not offended, you know, that we have this Medicaid program. But somewhere there has to be some responsible decisions made in terms of how it's administered and what we can and can't afford. The cost to Americans is huge. I mean, the Obamacare, the unconstitutional Obamacare, will impose an additional $1 billion cost to the state of Arizona. So I think somebody ought to sit down and evaluate best practices to eliminate, you know, again, programs we can't afford, you know, and recognize priorities. I mean, I think that's it's like any other program. It's a legitimate way of doing business. So when you have experts sit down along with the taxpayers and figure out not only best practices, but what you can and can't afford.
And, of course, the courts will determine constitutionality or unconstitutionality as that debate goes up the chain. But also,
I understand that.
Also joining us is Michael Abacasas. He's director of Northwestern University's Comprehensive Transplant Center and president of the American Society of Transplant Surgeons. Dr. Abacasas, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for joining us, and you're on with the president-elect of the Arizona Senate, Russell Pierce.
Thank you very much for having me. I would like to pick up on a couple of very key words that the senator has said. And by the way, I agree with absolutely everything that the senator has said, and my beef with this has no political flavors or any kind of economic flavors. But I want to pick up on what he said. And what he said was that we have to make reasonable, responsible, good decisions, and that these decisions should be made by experts, and that they should follow best practices. And nobody, in my opinion, would disagree with that. But in my opinion, and I think in most people's opinion, good decisions, reasonable decisions, responsible decisions mean informed decisions.
Amen.
By experts. And the decisions that were made specifically with the four transplant coverage decisions in Arizona were grossly misinformed. The entire transplant professional community disagrees, and these are certainly not reasonable. They are not responsible. They are not expert decisions. They do not follow best practices, and therefore, they are not good decisions. It's very simple. That's my only beef with this particular decision. I agree with everything else. And if you would like, I can get into the four decisions that were made and how they were completely misinformed and the input from the experts that were selected by Access were completely misrepresented in the final decision not to cover these transplants.
So, Doctor, if you're right, is it a case of...
It's not if I'm right. We've made a very convincing case to the governor that we are right, and we are the experts.
So, assuming for the moment that you are right, is it a case of Arizona's experts just bungling the decision? Is it a question of somebody putting some kind of economics over medical decision-making? I mean, somebody's got to make these decisions, and the senator says they were looked at and determined to be high-risk, low-benefit expensive transplants.
Yeah. So
somebody made that determination along the way.
Dr. Lieb, who is the chief medical officer of Access, and we reviewed all of the literature that was used to make those decisions, which are posted on the governor's and state of Arizona website. And we put our expertise behind it, and we are the experts. Make no mistake about
it. So what
this.
Happened
we
here, in your opinion? What happened?
A combination of things. First, and let me work backwards. First, the recommendations of the experts that were selected by Access were not followed. The experts recommended that these transplants should be covered. The state decided that they shouldn't be covered. And when I asked Dr. Lieb, who is a part-time anesthesiologist, who obviously has absolutely no expertise in transplantation, and we pursued his decisions and we tried to get down to the thought process, to the rationale, it became very clear very quickly that his knowledge of transplantation, as expected, was very superficial. In fact, the heart transplant decision, which is stated as not covering non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, which is a very clear medical term, he said, well, what they meant by non-ischemic cardiomyopathy was not what the rest of the world means by non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. And even though the statute reads that there's no coverage for this particular condition, he said, well, that's not really what we meant. And we have reached out to the transplant programs in Arizona to make sure that they know that that's not really what we mean.
So,
and we said, well, have you reached out to the cardiologists in the state of Arizona who are not likely to refer a patient who is part of the Medicaid program with this condition, because they're the ones that are going to read what the rule is and say, well, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for this, even though there's absolutely no medical basis, and even though the government, the state government has admitted that they just used the wrong term, they are not going to know this. So the patients are not going to get transplanted, whereas there's absolutely, by their own admission, absolutely no medical rationale for this.
So, Senator, where does this leave you and the state when you hear this kind of plea and this kind of detail from somebody like Dr. Abbakassis?
and I certainly can't argue with the doctor. He is the expert. I'm not on this issue. I can tell you that, that based on the information we had, that was the decision that Access and the governor made. And that's a healthy debate and probably ought to take place. But aside from that, this still comes down to the fact that Arizona is in a terrible, terrible position. Had to make decisions they would not have had to have made, probably, had they had the handcuffs off and had the flexibility to substitute other less
I'm purely going back to what you said, good decisions, reasonable decisions, responsible decisions. These four decisions are not reasonable, they're not responsible, and they're certainly not good decisions. And by all means, they are not decisions that the experts would agree are best practices.
So is there a better
way? And I appreciate that, Doctor. I won't get into
that. So, Doctor, is there a better way, in your opinion, for states or anyone else to make these decisions when they have to make choices at a time of fiscal crisis at the state level around the country and exploding Medicaid budgets? Is there a better way, in your opinion? You know, the New York Times editorial board, looking at the Arizona transplant decision, says, aha, Jan Brewer and the government of Arizona just got in between patients and their doctors.
Look, I don't want to make any political statements. It's not my purpose. I'm going to completely stay out of any political innuendo in this. But yes, of course, there are ways to make decisions and there are ways to prioritize, but they have to be based on evidence that is medical evidence. So we talk about good decisions being evidence-based decisions. And if we're going to start deciding cost effectiveness, which I think we should, and we're going to start deciding how do we prioritize, and if you have to cut your budget, you know, what goes first, I think the danger, the absolute danger, is to make these decisions based on misinformation. And if you're saying these are evidence-based, which is what the governor said, then there better be evidence to support that these are evidence-based decisions.
Well,
in this case, there just isn't.
It's an imperfect system.
Yeah, it is. Can I comment on that?
Senator, go ahead.
I think you made some very good points, and I certainly am not qualified to debate.
I am.
That evidence-based stuff with you. I rely on the experts to give us good information. But one of the challenges is
All right,
Senator,
Doctor, we get your point on that. Let's let the senator respond. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, but anyway, I appreciate the doctor's expertise, and I have no doubt that he is an expert and knows what he's talking about. And I know good people can disagree, but I certainly would like to see that debate pan out. But aside from that, one of the challenges we have today is we have too much government regulation. When they passed Obamacare, when the voters of Arizona passed Prop 204, they put handcuffs off that left very few options for the state of Arizona in a crisis time. You know, and so we've got some additional challenges, and we provide services that I don't think we ought to be providing. It doesn't matter. We just shouldn't be providing them. And to debate these critical services is a healthy debate. But if we'd had the flexibility we should have, take for the federal government to get out of our business instead of telling us what we have to do, instead of having a voter mandate that locks us into things we have to do, where you're left with very few options. It's just like the whole budget in Arizona. Two-thirds of our budget is off-limits because of voter-passed initiatives and federal mandates. Two-thirds of our budget at a critical time. So we've got to cut $1 billion out of our budget with only one-third of our budget to work with, and most of that's in public safety, health care, and education. The three most critical areas we have are the only areas we have that we can even reduce services. Yeah. And health care is very, 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 very limited because of the Obamacare maintenance of effort and Proposition 204 in Arizona. So you're right. We have some challenging times, and I don't doubt better decisions probably could have been made. But I think part of that is driven by the lack of ability to make better decisions because of the restrictions, handicaps, and mandates placed on the state of Arizona in an overly rich program. Again, we provide services in Arizona no other state provides for the folks. And you simply can't afford it, and the program's got to be rolled back.
New York is going to face some similar challenges, maybe not the exact same challenges, but with New York being one of the most generous states in terms of the array of services covered under Medicaid. Some of this is going to be debated here as well. My guest, the president-elect of the state senate of Arizona, along with the president of the American Society of Transplant Surgeons on the Arizona decisions to deny some transplants, heart, liver, and kidney under Medicaid. And Tom in Seabright is calling in. Tom, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. I'd like to direct my question to the senators. Senator, you know, you apparently don't agree with what I'm going to say, but I think it's a disgrace that we're the richest country in the world, and we don't provide universal health care to our poorest citizens or to all our citizens like most other countries do. Now, I have a suggestion to how you could solve your deficit crisis. You know, states and governments aren't like private individuals. They can float bonds. They can raise taxes. If we tax the rich and corporations and the people that own the most property in our country at a fair rate, like they were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, then we could fix your deficit problem. Yeah. And I'd just like to take your...
Senator, go ahead.
But I absolutely disagree with you, and you're right. First of all, you know, we're a free market society based on personal responsibility. We've ignored the principles of personal responsibility. We think it's our job to go out and steal from the fruits of the labor of those that work and redistribute the wealth. You know, we in America, we're very fortunate. We live in a republic, and a land of free. But in there, we have a right to succeed. We have a right to fail. Government cannot guarantee you know, anything other than the right to compete, the right to stick out there. And yeah, there are folks who have earned it, but I can tell you those folks who make money have earned it, work hard, maybe 20 hours a day, six, seven days a week. I mean, and again, I grew up as a poor man, so I understand that. You know, we lived in houses that were condemned. I walked the streets of Mesa barefooted and sold mistletoe and papers on the streets. I had a dad that was a drunk, had a sweet mom that raised my dad and us kids. I understand poverty. But you know what? Nobody owed me anything, and we made it, and we never took a penny from
that. Well,
to guarantee you other people's stuff.
Senator, what if you as a kid with no money needed a heart transplant?
Well, that doesn't ever. You're making a quantum leap there. He's talking about universal health care, guaranteed the products and the fruits of other people's labor. You know, we can go out and tax people more so we can take more of their money, the people that work hard, earn a living, while 50% of Americans pay no income tax at all. I mean, everybody should pay. Proportionate to what they earn, and I agree, but everybody should pay. That's how you keep taxes low, is when everybody has to contribute and be responsible for the government they want and demand. Everybody must participate in that.
James in Fairlawn, you're on WNYC. Hello, James.
Yes, thank you. I just had a comment that maybe it's outside the scope of the discussion, but neither of your speakers, the senator or the doctor, said anything about the cost of these procedures. And I recall in reading about one of them, I don't know if it's a lung or liver transplant, that the cost was going to be about $200,000. And I thought, that's an incredibly large number, you know, and there's just nothing in any health care, in Obamacare or anything, that does anything about cost control. You know, if you could do 10 $200,000 procedures with the same amount of money, you could do 20 $100,000 procedures. Why aren't we doing something about controlling the cost of these things?
Dr. Abacasis, let me throw that to you. Maybe
yes,
the
absolutely.
Same.
So you're 100% right, and we should be constantly trying to reduce costs. But let me just get back to the point that the rationale used for these decisions was flawed. If what you're saying is true, and I'm not disagreeing with you, then maybe the governor would have said, well, we're not going to pay for any procedures that are beyond a certain number of dollars. That was not the decision that was made. The decision that was made was to exclude four specific categories and say we're excluding them because the medical evidence says that we should exclude them. And so these decisions were masqueraded. They were disguised as having some basis in medical evidence when they don't. So your point is a completely different point about whether anybody should pay for expensive procedures or not, but to discriminate specifically against four specific patient populations and claim that it's based on evidence-based when they're not, I think is ludicrous.
Senator?
Well, I just want to comment. I mean, I do agree with the gentleman called in. Some of the procedures that the doctors talk about that Arizona excluded, some of those are in the cost of about $1 million. And so for the $5 or $6 million you're talking about there, for those half dozen or dozen people, and I can't remember the number.
It was $1.4 million for 60 people, Senator. $1.4 million for 60 people. Let's get the numbers correct.
Well, I just told you I didn't remember the number. So,
well, I do.
Doctor,
all right. So I get both your points.
On that, but the point is, 2,700 children could be treated for those dollars. So, I mean, it is a trade-off. But I don't disagree with the doctor. I'm not the expert on the return on investment and all this stuff. And that's a healthy debate that I hope takes place.
Senator, last thing before you go. According to what I've read, you know, you've been cited on websites from left, right, and center all over the country for floating this idea of having Arizona withdraw from Medicaid altogether and refuse
that's
the bill.
Not what was said. I love the liberty that the media takes sometimes, and I tell people all the time, if I want fiction, I'll go to the library.
So you tell us your actual position.
The actual position, I said, you can't afford the mandates that are coming down from the federal government, and it's time to tell the federal government, you know, to get off our backs and to stop it. And that means we're going to have to make decisions good for Arizona. If they want to take their money and go, then that's a decision they have to make. We've got to do what's right for the state of Arizona. They're not going to take their money and go. My issue is very simple. You can't run Arizona from Washington, D.C. Get out of our way. Let us make the decisions we need to make for the citizens of the state of Arizona. And that was my issue. There was never any real issue about not taking the money. It was what the federal government is going to make that choice. They can't continue to threaten us, you know, by having us make bad decisions in tough times. That's our job. The state of Arizona, the sovereign state of Arizona.
And we have
to make bad decisions in this case, and nobody forced you to make these bad decisions.
I'm not arguing with you on that, Doctor. You're the expert there. I'm not arguing with you.
And we leave it there with both of you.
But these are bad decisions.
And Doctor, we get your point. And there's more discussion to be had in Arizona about that particular case or set of cases. And Michael Abacasis, director of Northwestern University's Comprehensive Transplant Center, president of the American Society of Transplant Surgeons, and Russell Pierce, president-elect of the Arizona State Senate. Thank you very much for having this conversation with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Our latest of the many, 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 many conversations on health policy that we've had this year and will continue to have from many points of view. Coming up next, the editor-in-chief of Highlights Magazine with his State of the Kids survey. Stay with us.